الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإن الدنيا عرض حاضر يأكل منه البر والفاجر ألا وإن الآخرة أجل صادق يقضي فيها ملك عادل قادر يحق الحق ويبطل الباطل ألا وإن الخير كله بحذافيره في الجنة ألا وإن الشر كله بحذافيره في النار ألا فاعملوا وأنتم من الله على حذر واعلموا أنكم معروضون على أعمالكم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected ulama kiram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, Allah's greatness, Allah's azmat, Allah's kibriyai, Allah's jalal, this is wara'ul wara, beyond human comprehension. There's no parables, examples. Normally, when we want to establish any special characteristic about something, we tend to do comparisons. Compare with something that in that particular characteristic you are already convinced about it. For example, brightness. Sun is very bright. So we want to show speciality in brightness, we say brighter than the sun. Faster than the wind, faster than lightning. These are examples which we use. Allah's greatness, Allah's majesty, laysa kamithlihi shay. There are no parables or examples with Allah. This puny intellect, this brain, what is the brain? Brain is just a piece of flesh. If you look at a sheep brain, look at a human brain, it's very similar. It's a different matter. This is a shahkar, a symbol of the qudrat and jalal and azmat of Allah, that Allah's tajalli was directed towards a piece of flesh, 100 billion nerve cells interconnected. He said if the nerve fibers of the brain of one human being had to be opened up and a rope had to form, it will go from this masjid to the moon, around the moon and come back to the masjid. 580,000 kilometers long is the nerve fibers of the brain of one human being. And each millimeter of those nerve fibers contains the retentive capacity of 18 supercomputers. Today, scientists, sometimes they try to make people very frightened and afraid. They talk about computers, quantum physics, artificial intelligence. computers will become sentient beings. However, this is just bewakuf banane ke liye, making people foolish. This brain which Allah has given you and I, it is said this brain performs 32,000 trillion functions every second. There's no computer that can do that. And this is the insan. Allah's qudrat. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَنْ يَضْرِبْ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُودَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. Doesn't embarrass Allah to give you examples of tiny, tiny creations, insects. How many insects are there? They say there's 10 million different types of insects. 10 million different types of insects. Tiny creation of Allah, not even associated with much intellect. If you take the insect population of the entire world and put it on one side, put the whole human population on the other side, the weight of the insects will be 70 times more than human beings. Ants. Normally amongst insects, we know of ants. They say there are 10,000 different species of ants. 10,000 different species of ants. How many ants has Allah created? They estimate, they say 20 quadrillion ants. In other words, you take the number 20, put 15 zeros in front of it. If you want to make it even simpler, they say for every one human being, there are 2.5 million ants. We cannot imagine the vastness of Allah's creation. And like I said, human intellect, human brain, what's the size of the brain of an ant? 100 million ants, if you take their intellectual system, the brain of 100 million ants and weigh it, it'll come to 20 grams. And yet, tiny creation. If you look at ants when they walk, this is a partially blind makhluk. It can only see 1 or 2 centimeters in front of it. Yet, if you see ants, they are walking, they'll walk in a straight line. This defies logic. A makhluk that is partially blind should not be able to travel in a straight line. MashaAllah, our masjids, the carpets, they have it demarcated. Then to the Imam Sahib, how many times he used to make announcement, by straighten yourself, and then to the Saf won't be straight. Human intellect is supposed to be superior than ants. And then that size of brain, if you see jungles in Africa, Hisne Haseen, beautiful fortresses, they make 1 million. When they build their homes, this tiny makhluk of Allah, this is a testimony of what Allah says, رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Allah is Rabb. Rabb of insan, Rabb of jinnat, Rabb of jamadat, Rabb of nabatat. Carnivores, pedivores, two-legged, four-legged. In how many different ways around us does not Allah show us the beauty of His creation? We can't count the creations of Allah. And when Allah introduces Himself, this is why Imam Hassan Basri rahimahullah used to say, the most beloved amal in the sight of Allah is the hamd of Allah. Praise Allah, glorify Allah. Allah begins His kalam with this, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Grammatically, ulama explain, they say this alif lam that's found before hamd, they say is alif lam istighraqi, alhamd. In other words, totally comprehensive. It contains, in other words, east, west, north, south, above, below, anything worthy of praise and beauty belongs to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen. What does Allah highlight in the introduction? Rabbil Alameen. This is indicative of Allah's extreme love and compassion. This is why in Hadith of Jibreel, When Jibreel alayhi salam came in a human form to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find in that hadith this expression, antalida al-amatu rabbataha. This term Rabb is compared to a mother, because normally we associate affection and love with mamta, motherly affection and love. Allah's love is even greater than that. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Qadi Baydawi Rahimahullah. Normally you translate the word Rabb, nourisher, sustainer, provider. Qadi Baydawi, a great mufassir of the Quran, he explains this term Rabb. He says, that Zat and that being that took you from a state of non-existence, you were nothing, brought you into existence, and after bringing you into existence, took you through the various stages of your development, and in every stage beforehand, knew what your requirement was, put into place the system to address that requirement without you asking him, till he took you to perfection. That is your Rabb. And Allah is not just Rabb, Rabbin Nas of insan, Rabb of the vegetation, Rabb of the multitudes of animals, Rabb of insan, Rabb of jinnat, Rabb of the birds, Rabb of the insects, Rabb of the every alam, Rabbil Alameen, Rabbil Alameen. This verse which I recited, Rabbuna alladhi a'ta kulla shay'in khalqahu. Allah is that Rabb who created everything, thumma hada, and then gave every creation the necessary knowledge for it to fulfill the purpose of its creation. Ants, homes in the jungles in Africa, cognizance is taken of the direction where the sun rises from, where it sets from. Ventilation system, cognizance which direction the wind is blowing. Sewage system. Such complexity. Where does this tiny creation get this type of intelligence? And then such numbers Allah created of ants. It is said one. Today, mashallah, I'm digressing, unfortunately. That's the tartib. Today, mashallah, youngsters, you see, they pump ions. And then they, a lot of them, they take all this whey formula and that protein formula. MashaAllah, today you ask the youngster, bhai, read At-Tahiyyat, he can't read that properly. But he'll tell you what protein you're supposed to be taking and what proportion of carbohydrate and what this and what that. And they'll give you an exercise program. This is cardio and this is this and this is that. And you'll see them, mashallah, developing the biceps and the triceps. I remember a few years ago, Jamaat was one place, I think Ghaliban, Australia. After Taraweeh, we went for Gush, we passed one gym, Muslim youngsters, mashallah. Exercising. Why? Just now was Taraweeh. Say, no, that we get too tired. Tired for Taraweeh, but not tired to make exercise. This is where nothing wrong with ensuring your physical development and being fit. Al mu'minul qawi khayru min al mu'mini al da'if. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a qawi mu'min is better than a weak mu'min. But proportion. Exercise mustn't become a religion. Today, marriages are breaking on the basis of this, where something becomes a compulsion, obsession. When the ummah loses direction of what our purpose and objective is in this world. But nevertheless, I digress. When you can develop your biceps and triceps, physically, how strong can you become? If you weigh 100 kilograms, can you lift 100 kilograms? Maybe. Possible, 100, maybe even 120 kilograms. This tiny creation of Allah, this ant, it is said it can lift 50 times its body weight. 50 times its body weight. Allah, la yastahi, doesn't embarrass Allah to show you his qudrat in tiny, tiny creations. And then one ant colony is made up of a million ants. Certain of these ants, when the egg hatches, their head is larger than the rest of the body. Nobody brings one mirror and shows them, bhai, your head is larger than the body. Instinctively, رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Instinctively, they understand that I am security. This is what Allah created me for. So those that have larger heads than the body, they are in security, they lock their heads together. Then when the ants that have gone foraging for the whole day, when they come back in the evening, they have to, like nowadays you see people move around with these tags, security tags. It has to be coded beforehand. Sometimes you get fingerprint pads, different modes of recognition in order to give you entry. This we feel, mashallah, science has advanced. The ants were doing this how many centuries ago? What's their security tag? On the head of each ant, there are two strands, two hair fibers. They vibrate at a certain frequency. By the qasam of that Allah who created the ants, if in Toronto there are 1 trillion ants, there are no two ants, the fibers on the head vibrate at the same frequency. Each one is vibrating at a different frequency. So these security ants, where the head is larger than the rest of the body, are pre-programmed in their tiny intellect, in their brain. What's the size of that brain? In that brain, pre-programmed is the recording, the 1 million ants that belong to this colony, what is the frequency at which the two strands of hairs are vibrating. So when they come, they rub their head with the head of the security ant. If the frequency matches the record, then they move the heads to allow them to enter. رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Spiders, technical engineers in the darkness. That strand, you look at a spider's web, equivalent, if that thinness or that proportion equivalent in steel, the spider's web is 50 times stronger than steel. And steel is the strongest element known to man. Where does this kind of expertise come from in the brain or intellect of that tiny creation? Some spiders, they build their web in the water. Half underneath the water, half above the water. The section that is underneath the water is waterproof. The section that is above the water captures the oxygen to transfer it to the section underneath the water. We cannot comprehend or even quantify or use any parameter to describe the vastness of the Qudrat of Allah. This expression, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This is a comparison technically. Like you get, in English we say big, bigger, biggest, fast, faster, fastest, Akbar, Allah is Akbar, Allah is the biggest. But what does this actually mean? This Akbar is not comparison with any makhluk, with any creation. Allah is the biggest of any creation. No. Because makhluk, that which is created, can never ever do justice to describing Khaliq. Makhluk is mahdood, it is finite, it is limited. Allah, huwa Allah, alladhi, la ilaha illa hu, alimul ghaybi wa shahada, huwa ar-Rahmanur Rahim, huwa Allah, alladhi, la ilaha illa hu, الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق الباري المصور له الأسماء الحسنى. Each of these expressions in Quran refer to the sifat and attributes of Allah. Allah is awwal, Allah is akhir, Allah is zahir, Allah is batin, Allah is muhaymin, Allah is aziz, Allah is jabbar, Allah is mutakabbir, Allah is afu, Allah is ra'uf, Allah is rahim, Allah is khafir, Allah is rafi', Allah is mu'izz, Allah is mudhil, Allah is sami', Allah is basir. Each one of these, you can pick up a translation, but because they are associated with Allah and they are the sifat and attributes of Allah, like Allah is infinite and limitless, every one of these sifat and attributes are limitless. There's no words, no comparisons, no description that can do justice to describe. Allah is Sami'. Allah listens. What is this? My and your listening? No. You listen, one person speaks, maybe you'll hear. Two people speak at the same time? Possible? Three people speak at the same time? Impossible. You won't understand a single word. By hold on, each one speaks separately. And then, how are they speaking? Loudly? Softly? إِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. Allah in the Quran opens up His sifat and attributes. إِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ. Shout. Shout if you want. Allah يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. Not necessary to shout. Sir in Arabic is where you whisper. And then it doesn't stop there. Allah says, wa akhfa, wa akhfa. Lesser than whispering. What is lesser than whispering? Close your mouth, close your lips, your tongue is not moving. That is akhfa. In other words, the expression of the heart. Someone is far away, he's speaking articulately, raises his voice. He starts receding, walking more and more backwards, still speaking to you in the same tone. What happens? You start straining. You start straining to try to listen to that person. Allah, sawa'um minkum, man asarra al-qawl, wa man jahra bihi, wa man huwa mustakhfim bil-layl, wa saribum min nahar. Allah says, whisper, shout, light of day, darkness of night. Allah doesn't have to strain. Everything is equal for Allah. Everything is equal for Allah. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Allah says, we created you. نَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. When your soul is whispering to you, that also is clear to Allah. Allah has knowledge of that. Allah hears the whispering of your heart. You leave your heart. Ant's heart, the bee's heart, millions and billions of creation, every creation of Allah, its pukar, its cry, its call, Allah hears that. One ant, single out for us in the Quran. قَالَتْ نَمْلَةُ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلُ ادْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ لَا يَحْطِمَنَّكُمْ سُلَيْمَانُ وَجُنُودُ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Sulaiman alayhi salam, such an army, such a kingdom Allah gave him. He made dua. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he told Sahaba, he said, Inna li kulli nabiyyin da'watun mustajaba. Inna li kulli nabiyyin da'watun mustajaba. He said, Allah gave every Nabi one guaranteed accepted dua. Every Nabi was told. There's one dua in your life that you make. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every Nabi was told this. That there is one dua, Allah guarantees beforehand, this dua will be accepted. Sulaiman alayhi salam used that dua. What did he say? Rabbi habli mulkan la yambaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Oh Allah, give me such a kingdom after me till Qiyamah, no one will get a kingdom like that. That he used this dua for this. So Allah gave him such a kingdom. Huduwaha shahar wa rawahuha shahar. وَأَسَلْنَا لَهُ عَيْنَ الْقِطْرِ وَمِنَ الْجِنِّ اللَّهُ eats. Many places in the Quran, Allah describes the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Nawadad, over the jinnat, over the insan. Sulaiman alayhi salam's palace would move on a carpet. It would travel in one morning the distance of 1 month. In the one night the distance of 1 month. Now imagine the greatest kingdom and rulership the world will ever see is moving. Elephants, lions, leopards, cheetah, insan, jinnat. Sulaiman's army is moving. What happens? The earth starts shaking. 14 centuries ago, in the Quran revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ant, if you look under a microscope, doesn't have ears. Ant does not have ears. Yet Allah in the Quran revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that the ant heard something. This ant, tiny creation, heard something. Now, recently, they've discovered that even though it doesn't have ears like you and I, the ant is still able to hear because of sensors that Allah has kept under its knee by which it picks up vibrations. This is recently scientifically discovered, 14 centuries ago. Sulaiman alayhi salam's army is moving. One ant. Qalat namla. Ya ayyuhan namlu dkhulu masakinakum. O my fellow brethren ants, enter into your homes. I fear that Sulaiman alayhi salam's army will crush you if you are not careful. La yahtimannakum Sulaiman wa junuduhu wa hum la yash'urun. What was this? Why did Allah highlight 20 quadrillion ants currently? How many ants has Allah created? Every human being, they say the other day, I read somewhere, 8 billion child was born. How they work that out, only Allah knows. But hypothetically accepted. They say for every human being, 2.5 million ants. How many ants Allah created? And yet one ant is singled out. What? Why? This concern, worry for its brethren ants. You will come into harm's way. This ummah upon which the Quran will be revealed is being taught the importance of darb and pain and concern for your fellow human being. This ant was worried about their worldly concern. This ant was worried about their worldly concern. What about the concern of akhirat? If Allah will elevate the ant on the basis of this, what will Allah give that person who will have worry for akhirat? My Nabi said, Man ahya sunnati, that person who brings alive, one sunnat of mine, one practice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inda fasadi ummati, at the time of fitna and fasad, this age which we are living in now, ya'lamuna dhahiran min al-hayati ad-dunya wa hum 'an al-akhirati hum ghafilun. But today the minor intricacies of this world we know, of akhirat we are ghafil. This age, this period, my Nabi said, somebody who will bring alive one sunnat of mine at the time of fitna and fasad, Allah will reward him with the reward of 100 martyrs. 100 shuhada reward. Allah will give him for bringing alive one sunnat. As Imam Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, if this is what Allah will give you for bringing alive one sunnat, what will Allah give you for bringing alive one farz? One farz of deen, if Allah uses you to bring alive on sunnat, my Nabi said 100 martyrs, what reward Allah will give you? This one ant singled out. Sulaiman alayhi salam summoned this ant. He summoned the ant. Ama ta'lami anni malikun adl? That don't you know that I am a just ruler? How is it that you told your fellow ants to run to their homes? Sulaiman alayhi salam's army will crush you. I am a just ruler. I don't oppress. Why is it that? Because Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah gave him the ability to hear the insects. So what did this ant respond? Tiny brain like that. Yet look at the intellect. The ant responds, says to Sulaiman alayhi salam, I said, wahum la yash'urun. Inadvertently, without realizing, Sulaiman's army may harm you. I know you do not commit zulm, but I said, wahum la yashurun, by mistake, without realizing, you may harm my fellow ants. Allah elevated this. This one is your and my listening. Wasi'a sam'uhul aswat. Wasi'a sam'uhul aswat. Allah's listening encompasses the entire creation. There is not a single sound. The whispering of the heart, I'm digressing. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one youngster comes with a complaint. What is his complaint? He said, at times my father uses my wealth without my permission. Ibn al-Jawzi mentions in his Kitabul Birri was Sila, one riwayat, he says, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba, should that one dirham or one dinar, mafu of the hadith, spent in the way of Allah, 700,000 times Allah will reward you. One dirham or one dinar spent in the way of Allah, the reward will be multiplied 700,000 times. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba, should I not show you some wealth that you will spend that will earn you even greater reward. Sahaba said, what is it, Ya Rasulallah? In this culture of what we call social reform, social etiquette, this drive around us that this batil culture is going to teach us what is insaniyat. There is this concern that as people become old, they no more can serve their purpose. So create retirement homes, create old age homes, consign them. They have no real purpose or goodness to society. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he teach us? Innama tunsaruna wa turzaquna bidu'afaikum. It is the weak, the sick, the old, the infirm, the elderly, because of them Allah is sustaining you. Allah's nusrat and help is coming because of them. Allah is not in need of any of the systems of this world. Should I not show you something that will earn you greater reward than spending in the way of Allah? 700,000 times that is. Sahaba said, what is it, Ya Rasulullah? He said, that when Allah gives you, not burden. This is the psychology of batil. When Allah gives you this privilege and honor of allowing your parents to reach old age in front of you, by spending on them, you will earn greater reward than the wealth you spend in the path of Allah. This is the akhlaq and character of Islam that unfortunately today the Muslims themselves have become oblivious of. This concern to implement this akhlaq and character. Nevertheless, like I said, I'm digressing. This person, youngster, came to complain. My father uses my wealth at times without my permission. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not like you and I. Today, biggest, very big problem. Half the fitna that takes place is we listen to one side of a story. In ja'akum fasiqum binaba'in fatabayyanu. What a beautiful injunction Allah gives us in the Quran. Somebody brings one story by you, don't just listen to one side. Make tahqiq. Listen to both sides. This was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never made decision listening to one person. Because normally they say in any dispute, there's actually three versions. His version, the one party's version, the other party's version is the second version, and the actual truth is the third version. But unfortunately, we get carried away, and then with the sickness of social media, just listen to anything and straight away press the send button. Send button. Before it was ghibat with one person. Now it's ghibat with hundreds, if not thousands of people at the same time. And what did my Nabi say? Al ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. One dirham of riba. He said is 72 doors of kabair, major sins. Mafhum of one hadith, he said the lightest of those major sins which riba constitutes. He said ityanur rajul ala ummihi is like a person committing incest with his own mother. He said riba constitutes 72 doors of kabair. This is the lightest of that. And then inna arba riba. He said the worst type of riba. Al istitalatu fi irdil mu'min. When this tongue becomes free in targeting the dignity and honor of a mu'min. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah used to say, "Ashaddu dhunub allati yastakhiffuha an-nas." He said, the most dangerous type of sin is that sin which you don't even consider to be a sin. What was he referring to? Al-kalamu fi ma la ya'ni, unnecessary speech. لا يستقيم إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه ولا يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم لسانه. He said your iman will never be salih salamat. Your iman, you'll never get istiqamat until this heart comes onto istiqamat, and this heart will never find istiqamat until you don't control this tongue. ليس المؤمن بالطعان ولا باللعان ولا بالفاحش ولا بالبذي. My Nabi said, a person who curses, a person who curses, a person who taunts, a person who uses colorful speech and language, ليس بالمؤمن, he can never be a mu'min. This is not iman. Iman is to control this tongue. مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. He said, if you will not learn to control this tongue, if you will not learn to control this tongue, my Nabi said, the one who does not give up, like Jabir radiallahu ta'ala said, إِذَا سُمْتَ فَلْيَسُمْ سَمْعُكَ وَلِسَانُكَ. He said, when you fast, your tongue also must fast. Your hearing must fast. عَنِ الْكَذِبْ وَالْمَحَارِبْ. Lies. Allahu Akbar. One was a period of time when speaking the truth was what was expected of a Muslim. Lies was the exception. Today it's the other way around. Today it's the other way around. And yet, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي رَبَضِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْكَذِبِ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَازِحًا. Akhlaq of Islam. My Nabi said, what is this أَنَا زَعِيمٌ? Time, unfortunately, time is going also. أَنَا زَعِيمٌ, to explain this, understand it like this. Sometimes you tell somebody something, you make a promise or you tell them something, and then sometimes they have a little bit of a doubt. So it's a very prominent person, what he says, listen, main zimmedar, I am your guarantor. He doesn't give you what I'm promised, come take it from me. Then you feel tasalli. Certain so and so has guaranteed it. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sadiqul masduq, mubashir nadir, da'i ilallah, kafatan linnas, bashiru wa nadira. He says, I, your Nabi, guarantee you not a home in Jannat, in Firdaus, fi rabadil Jannah. I guarantee you a home in Jannat if you will give up speaking lies, even out of jest. A Muslim, part of the akhlaq of Islam, particularly those in the work of Dawat and Tabligh, is honesty and integrity. The gullies and alleys of Makkah would reverberate before Allah informed him that you are my Nabi. How did they recognize Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Sadiq Amin, Sadiq Amin, Sadiq Amin. We know the famous incident, time is limited. Abu Sufyan summoned to the court of Herakl, Hercules. Questions from Abu Sufyan at that time, who was a kafir. And not just kafir, leader of the kuffar. Questions were put in the court of Hercules to Abu Sufyan about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Investigation about this man who claims to be a Nabi of Allah. What did Abu Sufyan say in his introduction? He said, I wish I could have spoken lies when those questions were put to me, but it did not behove me to be dishonest. Kafir of that time is saying that. And today, Muslim businessman. Today, what is the pehchan of who is a Muslim businessman? Bismillah trading, barakat trading. Oh, he's got 786 in his cell phone number. That is not the pehchan. What is the pehchan? Inna atyabal kasbi kasbut tujjar. Inna atyabal kasbi kasbut tujjar. My Nabi said there is no more park, no more pure, no more tayyib earning. Living off handouts, living off somebody's largesse or inheritance, all that is in its place. My Nabi said, park earning, pure earning, the most beloved earning. Amalul is the earning of a businessman. Islam actually encouraged us. Develop your independence, earn. Atyab al kas, tayyib, use the word atyab, more tayyib, there is nothing than this. Ayyul kasbi afdal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, which earning is the best? He said, amalur rajuli biyadi, the one that the person who through the sweat and the fruit of his hands what he earns. But when is it tayyib? When is it pure? When will it elevate you? In atyabal kasbi kasbut tujjar alladhina idha haddathu lam yakdhibu. That hadith is time limited, I'm not going into detail. Five things my Nabi mentioned. When it is pure, when your tijarat will earn you jannat. He said if five things are there, and the first thing he said, idha haddathu lam yakdhibu, when he speaks, he does not lie. When he speaks, he does not lie. Man ba'iban lam yubayyinhu lam yazal fi maqatillah wa lam tazal al malaikatu tal'anuhu. He said that ummati of mine who sells something defective without revealing its defect. He knew it was defective, didn't reveal it. Today what we say? Business acumen. He's pulled the wool over the customer's eyes. Astute businessman. What does Islam teach us? Man ba'iban lam yubayyinu. The one who sold something defective and didn't reveal his defect. Lam yazal fi maqatillah. He will perpetually be in the anger of Allah. Walam tazalil malaikatu tal'anuhu. And the malaika of Allah will continually curse such a person. Because understand, my respected brothers, once the name is Muhammad and Imran and Yusuf, once you have worn the garb and the cloak of the ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, your business also is da'wat of Islam. Your honesty, your integrity, you are an ambassador of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is this lie that is purported. What lie? That Islam, na'uzu billah, spread through the sword. Orientalists try and put forward this theory. Islam spread through the sword. Anyone who has any idea of history will realize what a blatant lie this is. The most populous regions in the world of Muslims today, Indonesia, Asia, China, that entire region, Malaysia, Philippines, that entire region, read the history, not one sword was raised. No blood was spilled. How did Islam come in that entire region? Muslim business people from the Middle East migrated, and their conduct in their business melted the hearts of people around them. Today a Muslim lives next to a non-Muslim for 30 years, and that Muslim, non-Muslim neighbor, not one day does the inclination come in his heart to enter into Islam. Why? Because the Islam that Muslim is practicing is not Islam. He's practicing something else. Can Allah's qasam, he can never be practicing true Islam, except that that person will be attracted. Sahaba didn't give lectures. There were no big where they went? Kunu mithlana, become like us. People were attracted. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's generosity. He said this month of Ramadan, Sahaba say, Ajwad mina rihil mursala. My Nabi would be more generous. In other words, more compassionate, more kind, more identifying with the plight of those that are suffering. They say, more than a blowing wind, he would be generous in Ramadan. And we find these expressions in the riwayat. Person comes, Aslim. He goes back to his people. Aslim, oh my people, accept Islam. Why? Because I saw the salah of the Muslims. Because I saw their tilawat of Quran, because I saw their zikrullah, or they engaged in some debate with me. No! Aslim! Fa'inna Muhammadan yu'ti ata'a man la yakhsha faqa. Because in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have seen an embodiment of such generosity that he spends upon the people in such a way that he fears no shortage from the owner of the arsh. Akhlaq, the character, the integrity, the honesty. Muhammad bin Abil Hamsa. This is before Nubuwat. Before Nubuwat, he meets Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, I'm going to meet you in a certain spot. Makes a promise. 3 days pass. Inadvertently, that man forgot. Inadvertently, by mistake, he happened to be passing by that road. He sees Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing there. 3 days, and then swear him, get upset, use language. No. Ya fata laqad shaqaqta alay. All he said, that, oh youngster, you put me in great difficulty. Why? I gave you my word, I would meet you here. 3 days my Nabi stood. This was before Nubuwat. As-Sadiq al-Amin, As-Sadiq al-Amin, the truthful Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amanat-dar, trustworthy Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This akhlaq, this character, to imbibe it within ourselves, this... Allahu Akbar. He said, Laysa lillahi haja. Allah has absolutely no need for a fast where you will stay away from food and drink if you will not learn to control this tongue. Fasting is head to toe. Fasting is the heart has to fast. The hands are to fast. The feet has to fast. Nevertheless, I digressed. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa would never listen to just one side of the story. Sends for this elderly sahabi. This man is heartbroken, heartbroken. My own offspring, my son, my flesh and blood complained about me to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa Arabs' poetry was an inherent part of their nature, inseparable. So he gives vent, he expresses his pain and his hurt about what his son has done, but he doesn't complain to anybody. He forms it in his heart, a few words. By the time he reaches the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibreel has already come. Jibreel has already come. So when he reaches, what were the words that you formed in your heart? Before I deal with your matter, tell me what was it that you formed in your heart? This man is shocked. Listen to the reaction. It's mentioned in the hadith. Tahtawi rahimahullah, others have mentioned it. Wallahi, لا يزال الله يزيدنا بك يقينا يا رسول الله. Allah's qasam, Allah continues to increase our yaqeen upon you that you are definitely the Nabi of Allah. شيئاً قلته في نفسي ما سمعته أذناي. It was something I said it in my heart. My own ears didn't hear. Are you saying that my Allah has heard? وسع سمعه الأصوات. Allah's sifat, like Allah is limitless, Allah's sifat and attributes are limitless. This is Bahrun la sahil alaw, it's a limitless ocean. Yes, my Allah has heard you. What was it that you said? غزوتك مولودا ومنتك يافعا تعل بما أجني عليك وتنهل وإذا ليلة ضاقتك بالسقم لم أبت لسقمك إلا ساهرا أتململ كأني أنا المتروق دونك بالذي طرقت به دوني فعيني تهمل تخاف الردى نفسي عليك وإنها لتعلم أن الموت وقت مؤجل فلما بلغت السن والغاية التي إليها مدى ما كنت فيك أؤمل جعلت جزائي غلظة وفظاظة كأنك أنت المنعم المتفضل فليتك إن لم تروا حق أبوتي فعلت كما الجار المجاور يفعل فأوليتني حق الجوار ولم تكن علي بمال دون مالك تبخل. Poetry to translate any language is very difficult. Arabic is impossible to do justice. But the crux, before I even translate, what was the effect? Sahibul Lisan, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Sahibul Lisan. So what was the effect? Sahaba say, like rain droplets, tears were pouring down the cheeks of Rasulullah. Oh my son, when you came into this world, I stopped living for myself and I started living for you. I would bear the burning heat of the desert, toil in the sun to fulfill your every whim and aspiration, ambition and desire. At times you would become ill. I would stand at your bedside. And it was as if I became ill. I would cry to my Allah, let him not die. Whilst I knew that death could only come upon its appointed time. Then what happened? My son, youth caused your flower to bloom whilst old age caused my flower to wither and ebb. Youth caused you to be filled with ebullience and strength whilst old age sapped my energy and caused my bones to become frail and bent. In this moment of dependence, I stretched my hand out to you, yet you reacted with such arrogance and such harshness that it appeared as if my whole life was a lie. You had brought me up and I had not brought you up. Oh my son, if you could not have been a son to me, you could at least have been a neighbor to me, because a neighbor to some extent considers the needs and requirements of his neighbor. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this youngster, leave my gathering. Anta wa maluka li abika. You and your wealth belong to your father. Where is this akhlaq? This is why This is the lament and cry of our elders. Our situation, mashallah, we wait. When the weeds have become too much, what are you supposed to do? Remove the weeds in advance. Make the correct effort. We wait till the weeds are too much. Then enter your son's room, teenage son, 17, 16 years old. He turns around and he says, "You invaded my privacy. You entered without permission." Holds your collar and says, "What have you ever done for me?" Then you're looking for the Tabligh Jamaat and Taweez and looking for this solution and that solution. What were the seeds that we planted? What effort was made? مَا نَخَلَ وَالِدٌ وَلَدًا مِن نَخْلٍ أَفْضَلَ مِن أَدَبٍ حَسَنٍ. My Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no gift greater that any father can give his child than teaching him the akhlaq of Islam. And teaching means love, teaching means affection, teaching means time, sohbat, not dictating. Very, very often you travel, wherever, just the other day somebody was saying, What is happening to our youth? What's happening this? Look at this challenge. Look at that challenge. What is the solution? What is the solution? That the tide of zulmat and darkness has become so great that na'uzubillah, we don't have a solution? It's not that. The ummah has turned its back. We have failed to understand the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was his seerah? This hadith, normally we just take hadith, we listen to the translation. What is the meaning of the hadith? He said, command your children with salah when they are 7 years of age. What does it mean? Salah, like what we think is salah? Read it in your office somewhere, or if you musalli, or just read it on some roadside. Sahaba say, that person who came from outside Madinah Munawwara, when he saw Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how close he was to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he didn't know him, because he was from outside Madinah, he would think that Abdullah bin Mas'ud was from the Ahl Bayt, from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That so close he was to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what does he say? Nabawi nuskha, Nabawi prescription. Man sarrahu أن يلقى الله غدا مسلما. Who doesn't want this? Sahabi Rasul, directly from the Darbar of Risalat. Allahu Akbar, Nabawi Nuskha, Nabawi prescription. Any one of you that wants to meet Allah tomorrow with his Iman and Islam intact. Anyone that wants to stand tomorrow in Allah's court, Kamil Mu'min, Kamil Muslim, accepted in Allah's court. And what does this mean? Miftahul Jannah, the Jannah is yours. What do you have to do that? Fal yuhafiz ala haulai salawatil khams haythu yunada bihinna fa inna allaha shara'a li nabiyikum sunan al huda wa inna hunna min sunan al huda. Allah has ordained upon your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam certain practices of hidayat, and amongst them is 5 times salah with jamaat in the masjid. You want to meet Allah tomorrow, Iman and Islam kamil, protected, fal yuhafiz. He said, never ever abandon 5 times salah with jamaat. Never ever abandon, not Ramadan only. This is for the ummah, not individual only. The ummah, this call by bring the ummah back to the masjid, kalima namaz, this is not something invented in Nizamuddin or Iwin. This is directly from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ummah has to come back to the masjid. Our youth today, what does it mean? 7 years of age, 10 years of age, make the child make salah, not in the home. It means your child's tarbiyat with you in the masjid. That is what the hadith means. We are understanding it in today's environment. Turn the clock back. Abdullah bin Mas'ud says, if a man was not in the masjid, he was munafiq. Even the munafiq would come to the masjid. This idea, what is my Nabi saying with all these hadith? Quran, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Allah says, command your family, command your family, command your family with salah. What does it mean about your youth? Command them, you make at home, they make it somewhere else, or you in the masjid, they somewhere else. The Quran can never mean that. When the Quran orders salah, when my Nabi spoke about salah, it meant salah in the masjid. Bring into your family salah means your youth must be with you in the masjid. Today you walk into the masjid outside Ramadan, this whole generation, 15 to 35, is missing. There'll be masjids where Hifz class are taking place, yet those same Hafizes are ghaib. Because the Ummah has lost this understanding of the importance of the effort of masjid. This kalima namaz, person to person, town to town, door to door, person to person, bring the ummah back to the masjid. That is the only solution. Musa alayhi salam, at the height of the tyranny of Fir'aun, what did Allah command him? What must he tell the Bani Israel? اجعلوا بيوتكم قبلة وأقيموا الصلاة. اجعل, this is Quran. اجعلوا بيوت, such tyranny. Children were being slaughtered. Women were being enslaved. They were poor. They were the lowest rung of society. What solution was revealed? اجعلوا بيوتكم قبلة وأقيموا الصلاة. كلمة نماز, كلمة نماز, كلمة نماز. This is not some call that has to be taken lightly. This is the solution. Bring the ummah back to the masjid. Ramadan is the training ground for that. Ramadan is the training ground. This is just the first step. What does Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says? He says, Allahu Akbar. If I, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, Sahibul Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says that this is a sunnat of hidayat of my Nabi, if the ummah will abandon this, if the ummah will abandon this, he says, أَخَافُ أَنْ أَزِيغُ لَا دَلَلْتُمْ. He says, لَا دَلَلْتُمْ. Without a doubt, this ummah will go into dalalat. This ummah will lose its iman and deen. Today we are worried, blood is being spilled, rivers are flowing with the blood of the ummah. What does Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali say? In the 60s, he said, till your majma of Fajr Salah and Juma Salah is not the same, the tide will not change. Not technology and armies and weaponry and politics and agenda. Bring the ummah back to the masjid. Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul la'allakum turhamun. This is my Allah's Quran and it will not change. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. There is no one more truthful than Allah. Allah's promise is haq. Allah's promise is haq. Allah's promise is haq. Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. My mercy will rain down upon you. Condition, أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ. Come unto the obedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bring one ummati back to the masjid. Hold the hand of one person. Hazrat Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah, I mentioned it earlier. Bring one sunnat alive. Allah will reward you with 100 martyrs. What will happen if you bring one farz alive? What will Allah give you? Badr was in Ramadan. Fateh Makkah was in Ramadan. Today, under the guise of Ramadan, what is the ummah doing? MashaAllah, increasing ibadat, increasing tilawat. But there's no harkat. Ala wa inna rahal islami daira. Faduru ma'al kitabi haythu dar. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, the grinding mill of Islam has started moving. Take the Quran and move with it. Take my deen and move with it. This Quran doesn't have a name. If it had a name, Allama Zamakhshi rahimullah said, the Quran's name would be Hada Balaghul Linnas. Hada Balaghul Linnas. This Quran is tabligh for humanity. We run out of time. Very, very quickly, my respected brother. Brother was standing up already. Talks, that's in his place. They say, talks is for comprehension. For reality to come, we have to start moving. سافر تجد عوضا عن من تفارقه وانصب فإن لذيذ العيش في النصب إني رأيت وقوف الماء يفسده إن سار طاب وإن لم يجري لم يطب. غالبا it was Imam Shafi rahimullah, beautifully he said, move, whatever you sacrifice in the way of Allah, Allah will give you back. Tire yourself, because the sweetness and ecstasy of Iman is in tiring yourself in the path of Allah. I have observed, look at this analogy. He says, I have observed when water is still, it stagnates. It becomes dead. It starts rotting. When it moves, it comes alive and it makes things alive. This ummat is the ummat of harkat, of movement. Quran was revealed in harkat. Quran was revealed in movement. Haqiqat of Quran is in movement. The chakki, the grinding mill of Islam has started moving. Take Allah's Quran. Take the sunnah of my Nabi and move in the thirsty hearts of humanity that are waiting. Who is ready? Very, very quickly, my respected brothers. Stand up, make niyat, inshallah. Inshallah, this time, ad-dua indal iftari la yurad. The dua at the time of iftar will never be rejected by Allah. Put your application in Allah's court. Who is ready, mashallah? Jalli, jalli, bhai.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهل فصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد كما أنت أهل وفعل بنا ما أنت أهل فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا اللهم متعنا بأسمائنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا غاية رغبتنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أنت أحق من ذكر وأحق من عبد وأنصر من ابتغي وأرأف من ملك وأجود من سئل وأوسع من أعطى أنت الملك لا شريك لك والفرد لا ند لك كل شيء هالك إلا وجهك لن تطاع إلا بإذنك ولن تعصى إلا بعلمك تطاع فتشكر وتعصى فتغفر أقرب شهيد وأدنى حفيظ حلت دون النفوس وأخذت بالنواصي وكتبت الآثار ونسخت الآجال القلوب لك مفضية والسر عندك علانية الحلال ما أحللت والحرام ما حرمت والدين ما شرعت والأمر ما قضيت والخلق خلقك والعبد عبدك وأنت الله الرؤوف الرحيم نسألك بنور وجهك الذي أشرق قد له السماوات والأرض وبكل حق هو لك وبحق السائلين عليك أن تقيلنا في هذه الغداء وأن تجيرنا من النار بقدرتك اللهم أعتق رقابنا ورقاب والدينا وأمهاتنا وأزواجنا وأولادنا وجميع أقاربنا وجميع أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من النار بقدرتك اللهم حرم لحومنا على النار اللهم حرم أجسادنا على النار اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة اللهم إنا نسألك الفردوس الأعلى وما قرب إليها من الأقوال والأعمال يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء شهر رمضان اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء شهر رمضان اللهم اجعلنا ممن صام الشهر واستكمل الأجر وأدرك ليلة القدر وفاز بالثواب والأجر اللهم اجعلنا ممن صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا فغفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه اللهم إنا اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ورسولك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك من عبدك ورسولك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومطعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.